This is Dennis Emery, and I'm here with Kentucky Hall of Famer Kevin Collins. Kevin, this is part of the Hall of Fame Legends series, and we're happy to have you join us tonight.
Well, Dennis, thanks so much. It's a special treat. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to begin, like Stephen Covey said, we're going to begin with the end in mind, and what we're going to do is talk a little bit about you and Sacred Heart Tennis to start, because the reason you're down here in Lexington and doing this interview with us is you're here helping coach your team, Sacred Heart, at the state high school championship. How long have you been doing that?
Well, Coach, obviously, my daughter Whitney Collins Thompson is the head coach, and this is our sixth year helping Sacred Heart coach the women's tennis program. So it's been a lot of fun. It's gone by quickly. 6 years doesn't seem like it's been that long, but that's how long it's been.
Well, the reason I wanted to start with that is it seems like so much of your things are in tennis are about helping others achieve and get better, and your family. And so I think this Sacred Heart thing, you know, really meets both of those requirements. Tell me a little bit, is Kerry Beckman the best player you all have had during your time down there?
Well, Kerry certainly, brought three singles championships to herself and Sacred Heart. So clearly she has been the best performer, since we started. But we've had the great fortune to have some other wonderful young women. Obviously, in Kerry's time, Ellie Eads, who is playing for the Lady Cats, as a freshman this year, was a great teammate, and those two girls battled every day in practice, and met 2 of the 4 years in high school in the state finals. It's a credit to the kids, a credit to the program that we've been lucky to have some really wonderful young women that can really play.
Well, you know, I see Ellie Eads every day, and I know what a good player she is. And, you know, she doesn't hold back on any shots. she gets her licks in. But, just two things about Beckman. It had to be bittersweet for you that she didn't get to play the COVID year, because in all honesty, she should have been, or was potentially a 4-time champion, not just a 3-time champion.
Well, Dennis, you're absolutely right. I mean, COVID was so difficult for everyone, and certainly it was bittersweet that Kerry didn't get at least another opportunity to reach that milestone. And certainly she would have been everybody's odds-on favorite to be able to accomplish that. But I tell you, it also was very difficult for seniors on high school teams, in the COVID year. And certainly on our team, we had three seniors that had been on our team and worked hard for 3 years and really had not factored in the state play. And these three kids were actually going to be in the top six in that COVID year for a real opportunity to play in the state. And the fact that they didn't get the opportunity was heartbreaking. It just absolutely kills you as a coach to see these kids work that hard and then not get the opportunity. But they were gamers and they handled it like champs. They were wonderful. They probably handled it a heck of a lot better than us coaches did. It was tough on all the high school players at COVID year.
Now you say this is your sixth year, and you guys, to use your term, are the odds-on favorite to win it this year. How many state championships have you and Whitney won?
Well, the COVID year, we didn't play, but in this being our sixth year, we've been fortunate enough to come back with three state championships for Sacred Heart Tennis.
That's awesome. So three out of the 4 years you've been able to play, and you're the favorite this year.
Yes. Yes. Very, you know, it's, and when you say favorite, I mean, there's some really good teams out there. But we luckily qualified everybody through the region. So we got both singles players and both doubles teams, which is a, you know, that's a big start there. And a lot of schools, you know, didn't have that opportunity. They didn't qualify as many opportunities. So that gives us kind of a leg up. But you know, we still have to go out and execute. The girls don't take anything for granted, and nor do we. And there's some great talent out there, some great coaches, and there's some great schools that have a lot of history, just like Sacred Heart. So we have to go out there and you know, lace it up and play every match and give it our best.
You know, the state high school is always one of my favorite 3-day periods of the year. You know, we were lucky enough to host it at UK for many, many years. I want to say 40 years. And now it's at the final 2 days are at Top Seed. But the thing that I've noticed is how much better the level of coaching is than it was, you know, 20, 25 years ago. It seems like even some of the coaches who maybe aren't great, you know, very knowledgeable tennis coaches, they coach other sports, and so they're bringing that to the table. And I think it's really helped state high school tennis to see that.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And I think, you know, part of it also is, you know, as a coach, when better players show up, you know, coaches have to get better, and they have to do more of their homework, and they have to put in extra time, and they have to really, you know, be very cerebral about how they coach. And certainly for us, you know, we have on our team always, you know, some really good junior players that are playing all year round, as well as some good athletes that don't play tennis all year round. So, you know, it puts pressure on us as coaches to find the secret to bringing, you know, the team together, and hopefully, you know, being able to put on, you know, the best six players, you know, to represent the school come year end.
Yeah. Well, let's touch base about one more thing here about your high school involvement. Your daughter, Whitney, was just inducted into the Sacred Heart Hall of Fame. Must have been a thrill for you. But what's it been like for you coaching with her, and what do you see in her that you like as a coach?
Well, I think, you know, this whole time coaching with her, you know, it's a labor of love for her. You know, she picked up tennis late. She was actually a pretty good swimmer, and decided at about 13 that she just really didn't enjoy swimming, and she wanted to really concentrate on playing some tennis. And so, you know, I told her, I said, well, hey, that's great, but, you know, give me your goals, and then I'll kind of see if I can help you, you know, sort out what it's going to take, because it's going to be tough starting at 13 years old. But she was a hard worker, and she, because we're swimming, was incredibly fit, and very dedicated, and a smart player. She didn't have the best strokes, but she knew how to hang in and make shots and keep the ball going back. And so she had some pretty good success. Well, her high school career, you know, had some real tough blows, and their teams, you know, during her time didn't do very well. So she missed that opportunity. She went on, you know, to do some other things in tennis, and she got involved through grad school with a sports marketing degree, and actually worked for IMG and ran a lot of tennis tournaments around the world and did a lot of really cool things. And so she stayed with it. And then when the Sacred Heart job came available, you know, it was gratifying for me to see her go back to her high school and try to contribute. And then she kind of pulled me into it. And of course, I think the world of the school. All three of my daughters went there. It's a wonderful education. And you know, the Ursuline sisters have built over the decades an incredible environment there for young women. So I was happy to join her, and for her and I to, you know, to get to do this together, it's very fulfilling, and it's very special. And you know, we all parents that have children, we like to do things with all of our kids, and each one of them have little niches. Well, this is kind of her and I's niche, and it's been a lot of fun. I love the kids. I love you know, trying to help the school continue to prosper in athletics and developing young women. So it's really a lot of fun.
Well, I know you have the number 2 seed in this year's tournament, Ellie Hammond, as well as the 5 seed. But you know, I know Ellie and her family very well, and they just talk about the great family atmosphere with the Sacred Heart tennis program. So, but let's kind of leave that now, and let's go into your stuff. Okay. How did you get started playing tennis?
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting. I went to a tennis match at Bellarmine University to watch on their basketball floor to watch Arthur Ashe, Cliff Drysdale, Cliff Ritchie, and Tony Roach play.
My goodness.
An exhibition match inside at Knights Hall. And it was so incredible to watch these not just tennis players but athletes play the game. And I got, you know, I was a football player, basketball player, but I really got hooked on the sport. I just thought it was fascinating. And you know, I played football. I was a running back, so I had some speed and some agility, and I played a lot of basketball. And I had good hand and eye coordination and skills. And you know, basketball and tennis, a lot of the principles transfer really nicely. You know, staying low to guard on defense, and staying low to make your strokes, and your speed around the court was important. So I kind of picked it up. I had played a little bit in junior high, but not a lot. And I played sparingly in high school because I was too busy playing football and basketball, and had some scholarship opportunities to play football, and instead decided to go on into the family business right out of high school and forego college. And so, not long after that, I got married and I worked a lot of hours, and I didn't really want to, you know, come home after work a lot of hours and go play basketball or softball with the boys. And my wife was a good athlete. And so, you know, I kind of renewed my tennis, something that she and I could go out and, you know, hit some balls and play a little bit. And then, you know, we got to playing, you know, in the tournaments with mixed doubles. And then I played singles and men's doubles, and it just, you know, the more I played, the more I liked it, and I wanted to really compete. And so I worked on my game every chance I got. And with work, you know, I could go out and steal an hour and a half and hit some balls and play and train and stuff, and then go back to work. Unlike golf or things like that takes so much more of your time. So that's kind of how we got hooked. And then when the boys 18 clay courts was hosted in Kentucky and in Louisville particularly for 40 some odd years, we used to we'd house some of the young men that would come in there, and so we would be out there, you know, watching the matches and you know, supporting these young guys that came in and housed with us. So we just became really tennis junkies for quite a long time. and we just kept on going from there. And even today, I mean, I still play, you know, twice a week and, you know, hit balls and obviously work out with the girls during the season. So, we're just a big tennis family.
Now, when you say you housed during the national clay courts, the national clays, who might be some of the people that you housed that we might know?
Well, we housed Richie Rinnerberg. We actually had a clay court in our backyard. So during that time, there weren't really many practice courts. So not only did we house different kids, but we had the McEnroes, the Cricksteins. We had a lot of those guys that that came and practiced on our courts every day while they were there playing the tournament. So James Blake, we housed James and Thomas both when they came through. And so we had quite an assortment of fine young guys that had gone on to do pretty well, you know, in college and even in the pro ranks.
Yeah. Rennenberg got up to one in the world in doubles. And
right.
James Blake was four in the world in singles.
Right.
I'll tell you this real quickly on this, because so Susan Terry ran the clay courts there, you know, ran the desk. And James Blake, when he came, you know, she described him as weighing 75 pounds probably. And she said, he was sitting at the desk one day and she said, "So what would you like to do with your tennis, you know?" And he said, "I'd like to be number one in the world." And she said, "I was looking at him, you know, and I wanted to say, look, there's no way you're ever going to be a great player, you know, you're just not going to be big enough." But it's funny how many people came through that national clay courts and how inspiring that was for a lot of young players to, you know, I was inspired to play because of the clay courts. And I always felt like it had a huge impact on kind of the golden years of Louisville tennis there with Gary Plock, JT Sims, Kevin Walsh, you know, Jackie, obviously before that, but that kind of era, it felt like the clay courts had a big impact on that. Now, you were talking about you started playing and training and playing these tournaments. Who would you play and train with?
Well, you know, luckily, there's some pretty good players in the state of Kentucky over the years. So, you know, I played, trained, and partnered with an awful lot of guys like Gary Plock. Gary and I played quite a few senior tournaments over the years. Rick Schaferman and I partnered up. Bill Evans and I were partners at the Louisville Boat Club for Inter Club, and we played a lot of tennis. Chuck Cooper and I played several tournaments and had some pretty good success. Chuck Sackey. Greg Stevenson. I mean, I never had too many bad partners. You know, I always was pretty cerebral about picking a pretty good partner. So, but all those guys, you know, were great guys with somebody like me that didn't come up or maybe have the talent level that they had, but because I had so much love for the game and wanted to get better, they were very instrumental in helping me and a lot of other people the same way. They were very generous with their time, and when you ask them to hit or play, they were always willing, and I've always respected that from all those great players, because that's, you know, that's what people did with them when they were coming up, you know, and so I was very fortunate to come up in a time where a lot of those fellows, you know, helped me get better. Curly Davis and I were partners for years and years, played a lot of Southern events, and had some great matches with some really, really great players over the years. And so all those guys, you know, I owe a great debt of gratitude to, really.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but, you know, you name Plock, you name Billy Evans, Chuck Cooper, Chuck Sackey, Curly Davis, all members of the Kentucky Tennis Association Hall of Fame. tell me if there was one thing that you learned from playing with Gary Plock, what would that have been?
Oh my gosh. You know, Gary was able to control his emotions and probably better than anybody. Now, you know, inside Gary, I'm sure smoldered, you know, and fumed occasionally, but he never got outside of his ability to play with his anger or his frustration or his lack of focus. And again, for a guy like me who needed to really learn how to control my emotions throughout a match, you know, and not being upset, but you know, when you get a little bit angry, you know as a coach, when you get a little angry, it tires you. And, you know, when you get tired, then you struggle with your serve, you struggle with returns, he really taught me how to go around, during a match, really conserve my energy and to not get to a point where I got frustrated, where, you know, it would compound poor play. And I think he was one of the best at really, you know, he may have been fuming inside, but you really didn't know it, you know, and he didn't get himself out of whack to the point where he played poorly because of his lack of focus or being angry.
Yeah. And it sure did help to be able to hit that lefty serve to know that you had that in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy Evans, you know, he was somebody I grew up admiring and who was very instrumental in my life, helped me, helped me get the donation from Mr. Boone for our original indoor facility. But a great competitor, great doubles player. What would you have taken away from playing with Billy?
Well, Billy was one, a tremendous athlete. Billy didn't have the best strokes, had a terrible forehand, right? Everybody knew that. And he knew that, but he was so good at playing the game and he knew how to play the game and he knew how to play with a forehand that wasn't that good. And the guy was just remarkable and he could pick up the weaknesses in his opponent. And from a standpoint of playing a match, he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't hit the wrong shot at the wrong time. And so he would teach me as a young guy, here's what I want you to do here, right? You get this ball right here. I want you to take this ball right here. And he didn't have to explain it to me. If he said, "That's what I want you to do," then that's what I tried to do, because he knew better than I. So.
And the last one, who's a guy I feel like was very, very underrated, but was a great teaching pro and a great player, played at Duke. Everybody who I talked to really knew him as a great teacher was Chuck Sacchi.
Oh, Chuck was the consummate pro. And when I mean that, he could see players and he could make them better. And he really expected and enjoyed working with very talented players that weren't great yet, but that he knew could be great. And he was a mastermind at taking a lot of these young talented folks and really turning them into great players. And Chuck was he just absolutely enjoyed, you know, taking a young man or a young girl and really furthering their tennis and giving them the opportunity to play at a higher level than maybe they even thought they could. And he was a pretty fantastic player, but he got more enjoyment out of, I think, really taking young people and making them elite players.
You know, the thing I remember about Chuck was it seemed like he was different from a lot of teaching pros in that he really understood how to play on clay and enjoyed teaching people how to play on clay.
Well, he beat a lot of good players that came up, younger than he for a long time. that went on and played some really good college tennis. He would beat them in invitational events, and they just didn't understand how he did it. But he didn't hit it hard, but he controlled every point. He was very quick around the court, and he knew how to keep the ball low. He knew how to keep the ball, on the angles, and you couldn't attack him. And when you did, he'd throw up a lob, and that was the end of the point.
Well, like I say, I've always felt like Chuck was, when he got in the Hall of Fame, it really surprised me, because I thought, my goodness, I thought he was in there a long time ago. I thought underrated. Kevin, what would you consider to be a couple highlights from your playing career? What were things that kind of stood out to you playing with all these great players, but events that stood out to you?
Oh gosh, Curly and I had some real nice wins, and we got ranked. We were third in the South in the 35 doubles one year. We played Zangary and Marl Chamberlain. In a crazy match down at Wild Dunes. It was incredibly. It had been beautiful for a couple of days, and we played them. It was incredibly cold. We all had so many clothes on. It was hard to play, and we actually pulled out an incredible win against those guys, and we'd still to this day we don't really know how that happened, but I think the weather had a lot to do with it. Gary Plock and I played a couple of indoor closed matches and tournaments and won those. Probably the most interesting match I ever played was actually against Gary. So Keith Nutter, who was a longtime partner of mine, he played at Eastern, and Keith and I play Gary and his partner in the indoors here in I think it was a 35 indoors in Lexington. And we're playing. I'm not sure that I returned very many of Gary's serves during a three-set match. and ended up was a tiebreaker in the third. And I returned a ball for a winner off of his serve that ended up winning the match. And again, it was probably the only serve I remember returning in 3 sets. And I'll never forget, Keith and I rode back to Louisville that night with the windows down, and we were hooping and hollering on the way back to Louisville, like we'd won the NCAAs or something. And of course we showed up the next day and we got beat in the finals, I'll never forget that, because Gary would always remark, like, "Man, I can't believe y'all break my serve in the third set breaker." I've lost my serve the whole match.
What a great player, Gary was and is. Well, let's move into the next portion of what I think that you did so much for the state of Kentucky, the city of Louisville. You got to where you became a big sponsor. Your company, very, very successful. The auto group there, very successful. And, I've heard, as Steve Cantardi told me one time, he said, there's people who have some money, and they have some money, and they're willing to spend it on tennis. He said, and his point being, a lot of people don't really buy into the tennis enough to invest in it. And it seemed like you, from a young age, were willing to invest in the tennis. I know you were involved with some exhibitions. I know you were the title sponsor for the state open or closed there that was held at the Boat Club for years. How did you get involved with that? Did somebody come to you and just ask you, you know, we'd like for you to be involved as a title sponsor?
Well, I think, you know, because of our love for tennis, I mean, we're always willing to kind of raise our hand if somebody was talking about an exhibition or, you know, certainly back the old pro tournament in Louisville, you know, with Sam and John English, you know, we were a sponsor of that tournament. I thought it was phenomenal. Obviously we helped Sam. We were a sponsor, with David Jones for 40 some odd years for the boys 18 clay courts and just really any tennis event that comes to the state of Kentucky or to Louisville, you know, that's a big event. And we just always felt like, you know, if somebody's willing to do the work to try to bring these events to the state of Kentucky, then gosh, let's line up and put our money where our mouth is. And let's help support this event. And we get a lot of enjoyment out of it, but it harkens back to what you talked about, what I've talked about. You know, I got to see Arthur Ashe and those guys play. You know, if an event comes and we can sponsor that and it helps some other kid like me or you, you know, get involved in tennis, then that's wonderful. That's what it's all about. And, you know, we deserve the opportunity to have good tennis events in this state. You know, it being one of the southern states, you know, there's a lot of tennis activity in all these other southern states and you know, why not Kentucky?
Right. Any highlights from hosting the pro tournament, which, you know, for a long time was the first National Bank Tennis Classic, but any highlights for you from hosting that?
Well, you know, we got to interact with a lot of great individuals that happen to be pro tennis players. So, you know, the Eddie Dibbs, the Harold Solomons, the Guillermo Vilases, the John Alexanders, you know, all these guys were guys that we got to know and were just wonderful people, not just tennis players, but wonderful people. And we made friendships that have lasted a lifetime. And any of these events that we are involved with generally, you know, ends up that way. I've had the pleasure to be able to, you know, play with Pete Sampras and play with John McEnroe and Yvonne Lendl and Tommy Haas and on and on, not just to throw names out, but because we've been involved in certain things, these guys, you know, come to the forefront and you get the opportunity to interact with them and just talk about tennis, you know, or get out and hit some balls, bang some balls with them or play little doubles. And it's not only a lot of fun, but you get to see the inside of tennis in a big way. Had the great fortune to, you know, be in some circumstances with Agassi and Brad Gilbert when Brad was coaching Andre. So, you know, those are things that you don't forget because it's such a great game. And when you get around and you get to see up close and personal, you know, these tremendous pros, these great athletes, and these human beings that really they sacrifice a lot. And their families sacrifice a lot. And they're the first ones to tell you, you know, how tough it is to be tops in the world. You know, it takes a family willing to, you know, put themselves aside so that you can eat, you can sleep, you can train, you can rest, you know, and you know, it's a big sacrifice.
Well, let me just going back to the pro tournament. You know, and the guys you named were kind of the second wave of the players that played Louisville there. The first wave of guys was Laver, Rosewall, Ash, Smith. Did you have much interaction during that time period? I mean, were you there for those years, or did you come along a little bit later?
No, we actually were involved there as well, and you know, I've gotten to do a few little events you know, with some of those fellows as well, and you know, it's remarkable when you look at, you know, the Rod Labors and the Lou Hodes, and you look at all that era, you know, the John Newcombs, the Tony Roaches, and Cliff Drysdale. Right. You know, it's those guys were the guys that really obviously paved the way to what tennis is today. And I'm not sure the world really understands, probably the tennis community does, but, you know, really what that group of individuals, Arthur Ashe, you know, in those times, you know, what those guys did to really put pro tennis on the map, and then look at where it is today with you know, the huge number of tournaments worldwide, the level of money, prize money, and if it wasn't for you know, those gentlemen, it wouldn't probably be the way it is today. And so it was wonderful to be involved and watch tennis blossom, professional tennis blossom, and even coming through, you know, a town like Louisville, Kentucky.
They, you know, what Sam and John English and you all did, you know, just inspired an entire generation of players in Kentucky. I think, you know, it's really hurt us to not have the big tournament, you know, like when we lost that tournament to Cincinnati, because that's what, you know, Cincinnati was our event.
Right.
And, you know, they sold that up there. Now, there was no way around it at the time, really. But, but I feel like, you know, we've lost, you know, sort of the cachet that we had when we lost the clay courts and we lost that pro tournament. And do you have any interesting stories and any interactions with Arthur Ashe, Stan Smith, Laver?
Well, nothing as deep as some of the others that I've described, but clearly I was a member of the Louisville Bowl Club, you know, the well-known story about Arthur coming in to the 18 clay courts, and it was actually held, you know, at the Louisville Bowl Club, and, you know, in a time in our society where, you know, black players, you know, were not welcome at some of the clubs around the country, and clearly, you know, Arthur, you know, was there to play, and it was, you know, it was a disruption, and it was not fair, and clearly, you know, he wasn't able to play on those courts, and it's a mistake, and it's a historic event that wonderful club and the city of Louisville probably it's not proud of to this day, and moreover because not just the black versus white and the racism, but because Arthur Ashe, for crying out loud, you know, is an ambassador for the world, not just in tennis, but as a human being. And so that was something that, you know, obviously has been everlasting, you know, to see that and to understand the ramifications. But
you know, you started that by saying the well-known story of Arthur Ashe, and I'm not so sure that's a very well-known story, and that's why these podcasts, I think, are so important. Is, you know, we need to bring out these stories of, you know, good and bad.
Of the
history of Kentucky, because, you know, as you're saying, Arthur Ashe, ambassador to the world, but this is what he went through to create the world that we have today. You know, where those guys, can walk in these beautiful stadiums, like today, the French Open, Nadal, Djokovic, beautiful stadium, you know, and play for the kind of prize money they played for. You know, so that pro event was very important. The State Open that you did for years, I know, very important. You did a thing. My son started a challenger event down there, and you were the first one to step up and be the title sponsor for that. And that was a big deal, you know, to have you come on board, because when you came on board, a lot of other people came on board. Anything else like that? Any of these other exhibitions that you wanted to mention that you were involved with that stand out to you?
Dennis, it's kind of a strange thing. It's not anything that I really think about. You know, we've done them over the years for what we always believed was the right reason, you know, for the community, for the tennis community, you know, for the event value, for the citizens to come out and partake and enjoy in great play and so forth. When we do it, you know, we're involved with it. We like it. It's great. And I don't really think that much beyond that, except, you know, I'm willing to step up and we're willing to consider another one, but, they've all been great. No matter what level they are, you know, if there's a charity event, you know, we want to help out, because again, like anything else, if you want to promote tennis and you want to promote the opportunity for others to get involved in tennis, either as a spectator or as a player, whether they're, you know, an adult or a junior, you know, or an adolescent, anything that we can do to make that happen, is interesting, because again, had somebody, I don't remember who put on the event that I saw at Bellarmine University, but whoever put on that event, you know, was responsible for me getting involved in tennis.
Yeah.
So if somebody brings something up, you know, we can help, then I look at it the same way. Maybe somebody in the crowd was like me, and they'll have a lifelong love of tennis and enjoy it, you know, and I play some golf too, but I don't enjoy golf near as much as I do tennis, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah. Thank God. No, I'm teasing. Listen, we want to touch base on two more things. And the first thing, I kind of want to ask you a question in reverse, you know, and then I'll ask it to you straight out too. Then we want to finish up talking just a little bit about your family. Is there anything in business, you know, because longtime CEO, is there anything in business that you learned that helped you in tennis?
Well, sure. you know, and it's, and you know, business and sports are in my estimation, they link up perfectly, because you know, business, there's competition, so you have to have a competitive spirit. In business, you have to have strategies. You have to have a culture of improvement. You have to have a culture of practice. You have to have a culture of learning how to have little wins in business, so that you can maybe eventually get to a very big win, being very successful and have a long, prosperous business opportunity. So it's tennis, you know, teaches you discipline. You know, tennis teaches you that, you know, you may not have the weapons that your opponent has, but that doesn't mean you can't compete. You know, as we all know, there's plenty of people that can play a tennis match on paper and decide that this person over here with that big serve and big forehand is obviously going to be the winner, you know, but they underestimate that person on the other side that has a good, solid game, but has a tremendous mind and will to keep that ball going back one more time. And in business, it's the same thing. You know, in business, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to have some losses. You're going to have some trials and tribulations, but you can't pack it in. You got to just keep figuring on how to develop a strategy and how to be disciplined enough to get through the tough times, so that you can have an opportunity to succeed. And it's a great dichotomy: sports, tennis, business. You know, it's really, really interesting. And it, to me in business, it keeps me fresh. When I learn, you know, to how to play better tennis, you know, I mean, I've changed my grips probably 5 times in my career. You know, hardest thing in the world to do, because for 30 days, you're awful. But you have to do that to get better. And it's the same thing in business. You may have to redesign your business. You may have to relocate some employees, you know, and you may have to change some of your procedures, some of your policies, to get better. And you got to be willing to do that. You got to have perseverance.
Got to be willing to evolve and persevere.
Yep.
Well, let's finish up here. I want to talk just a little bit about your family. Two other members of your family. The first one is Shane, you know, who played for us at UK. And, you know, he won a match for us in doubles that basically put us in the NCAA tournament. And to do it, the match I'll never forget, you know, because he beat a guy who ends up being top 10 in the world who played doubles at Auburn, who somehow was playing number two doubles for Auburn, by the way. But but Shane and Will Beck, you know, just played a great match to beat him, and we end up winning 4-3. And that match, had we lost that match, we would not have gone to the NCAAs, and we went. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Shane and tennis.
Well, obviously, you know, all of our kids, you know, gravitated to sports, and we're very proud of that. We actually had, of our four kids, they had 7 high school state championships in 3 different sports. And I don't know how, that happened, but, you know, tennis and field hockey and swimming. So, but Shane, early on, again, we had a court in our backyard, so that helps a little bit. But early on, he really, you know, he was a boy's boy. He loved, you know, football. He loved everything. But for some reason, he gravitated to tennis. And then he got to the point where he didn't want to do anything but play tennis. And he had a chance circumstance with the Bryan brothers when they came through the 18 clay courts. And he was piddling around, you know, the tennis facility, and those two young guys were just great young guys. And for some reason, they kind of took a liking to him. And so he was like their mascot for the week. Well, that relationship has lasted to this day, you know, but it was very instrumental in him wanting to just focus on tennis and be a tennis player like the Bryan brothers. And so it's interesting, again, how tennis gives back, right? And so he practiced, he played hard, he played junior events, you know, from an early age. Got to be pretty good in the state of Kentucky and pretty good in the South. And he didn't love junior tennis particularly, because of some of the things that happened in junior tennis. But he knew he had to play, and so he would play. He absolutely, you know, dearly loved the opportunity to play team events. So he loved Junior Davis Cup events. He loved zonals. He loved all those things. And he always thrived, you know, in those events. He played better, you know, in team events than he did sometimes as an individual. And then he got the opportunity to decide what he wanted to do in high school. And we actually lived very close to Trinity High School in Louisville. But he told me, he said, "Dad," he says, "I'm playing at St. X." And I said, "Well, son, don't you just want a shadow at Trinity?" He goes, "Dad, I'm going to St. X, play tennis." I said, "Oh, okay." You know, so he did. And again, he absolutely loved, high school tennis because of the team aspect. And, And then as he got better and he worked harder, he wanted to play tennis at the University of Kentucky. And I told him, I said, son, you know, there's a lot of other good schools, and you know, you may not be good enough to play at Kentucky. And he said, Dad, I want to play Kentucky. I said, well, okay. So there were a couple other decisions that he had to make some changes to his game, and he actually had to change coaches and get with a coach that could take him just another notch higher. And then luckily, you guys saw something in him and offered him an opportunity to play Kentucky. And that was certainly the highlight of his career. And he enjoyed every moment of it. And he enjoyed the guys and he made lifelong friends. He and I were a few weeks ago down at Miami to the F1 race because one of his college teammates, Brad Cox, is working for a company that puts on the event for F1. So, you know, we got to see Brad down there for a few days. And so it's those lifetime friendships.
Kevin, there's one more person that I think is really important in your Hall of Fame quest and, you know, your Hall of Fame status, and that's your wife, Sandy. What has she meant in your life, in your tennis life?
Well, obviously, you know, in my life, you know, she clearly is the love of my life. And together, you know, we share, you know, four wonderful children, which she had the biggest part in raising, because I was working 70, 80 hours a week for quite some time. And so she gets all the credit for that. She did a wonderful job with the kids. And then, you know, she's the grandmother to soon to be 14 grandkids, and
good grief,
they just love her to death, and she's just wonderful. So she's a tremendous partner in my life. She's an incredible mother and grandmother, and she loves tennis as well. Still plays, you know, in Inter Club and River City Tennis here in Louisville, and she and USTA. So she's still involved in tennis like most of the rest of us.
Well, what I noticed, and the reason for my question is, she just seems to, whatever you do with the tennis, and I'm assuming with everything, but especially with the tennis, she just seems to jump right in there and go with the flow and, you know, just become a big part of it. You know, like when you were involved with the Challenger Pro tournament that we had down there, you know, she jumped in there and became involved with that, you know, with transportation and different things. When Shane was playing here, you know, she became a big part of our program. And so I guess that's what I'm leaning to. It just seems like
involved and help out in any way she can, in tennis and anything, any endeavor, charitable things that we do, or any kind of business things that we do for employees or customers. She's right there, you know, as a partner and really more than carries her own weight in everything she attempts. That's for sure.
Well, good. Well, let's just wrap this up. Over the weekend, you all won your fourth straight high school state team championship. And if I'm not mistaken, your fourth straight singles championship as well with Ellie Hammond. What are your thoughts after that?
Well, Dennis, I mean, it's obviously a lot of hard work and by the girls and hold on just one second. I got a dog here barking in the background. But, you know, this was a really interesting year for us. And, you know, we had, we graduated some great kids. You know, we kind of had an injury that really set us back with one of the girls. So, you know, we kind of pieced this team together. We had some good talent, but we had a lot of people that, you know, were moved. They played, you know, Ellie Hammond played doubles for us and didn't play any singles for us in the state last year. And then we get Lila, who transfers, you know, getting used to a new school, a new team. So it was very gratifying to see how hard they worked, how quickly they came together as a unit. And the last 6 weeks, you know, you've seen this happen, obviously in your career. You know, you get these young people and they work hard, but all of a sudden in the last 6 weeks of the year, they started really playing incredible tennis, and just got better each week, got more comfortable. You know, the team really pulled together and started to gel as a unit. By the time they got to regionals and got through regionals and got to state, they were really on top of their game. They were focused. They were loose. They had fun. They didn't get tense. And it allowed them to play their best tennis. A lot of people probably a little surprised that we came back as strong a team as we did from last year. But again, it's just a credit to these young women who worked hard. They had good goals and objectives, and they went after them, and they did everything that they were supposed to do. And it really made Whitney and my job fairly easy, quite honestly. We just had to kind of, keep them fresh and just focused on the job at hand. But they had a great run. They really did. And we're just incredibly proud of them. There were some great matches up there, and they had to work hard. I mean, they could have easily gotten beat in several matches, but they really fought, and more importantly, they stayed poised, which was a great thing to see.
Well, and just for one second, you know, you were down, I think, 3 match points in the doubles at one point there and could have lost that very easily, obviously, with the 3 match points. And then Shallcross pulls an upset over the number one seed to get to the, so even though you all won by a comfortable margin, it was a close, comfortable,
And well, no, you're exactly right. I mean, we obviously the number one doubles team, could have easily lost that match, and we had both singles players playing two really great opponents, and we could have easily lost both of those. So you're right. It was a big margin at the end. But it was closer than people realize. Really was.
Well, let me finish up by telling you one thing. My wife, who, as you know, won 3 state high school championships as a coach at Lexington Christian and won 6 individual state singles championships in a row. You know, a run a little similar to what you guys are on right now. And she was umpiring out there, and she's told me, she said, listen, Kevin Collins is so good on the court with the girls. I would just never imagine that a guy would be so good and know all the right things to say to keep them calm, keep them focused, and keep them moving. So from one coach to another, you certainly earned a lot of respect, and thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it, Kevin, and hope to see you soon.
Well, Dennis, I really thank you. It's been great, and all the best to you and these Hall of Fame podcasts. They're really wonderful. They really are.